Hi, my name is Bronwyn Murphy, and I'm the Inclusion Coordinator here at University Covenant Church, and I am so glad you could join us today. I'm excited to have the opportunity to learn more about the Word of God with you today as we continue through our series, the book of 1 Peter, that we're calling Scattered Together. Today, we continue with part two of Pastor John's message titled, Why is the Church So Valuable? But before we get into that, I'd like to give a special welcome to anyone who might be joining us for the very first time today. As a church, our hope is that we'd be able to help all people know Jesus and follow him. So if you're new, we'd be thrilled to welcome you. Here at University Covenant Church, we want to value and get to know all newcomers who walk through our doors, or in this case, encounter us right here online. It'd be an honor to reach out to you and connect with you. If this is something you would allow us to do, please text the word hello to the number on your screen so we could welcome you, know your name, know a little about your story, and discover how we can best support you. We also firmly believe that we are imperfect people who have made choices that have hurt others, including ourselves. In other words, sin. However, we also believe that each and every one of us are deeply beloved by God. We believe this is possible because of God's goodness, mercy, and grace, which was on full display through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through Jesus, we are not only forgiven and saved, but invited into eternal life with him, where we can experience life's full joy, goodness, and love. Today, I'd like to take some time to celebrate our first ever outdoor Easter service. It brought me so much joy to see our church coming together to celebrate the resurrection of Christ despite sunburns. It was especially fulfilling to get to see so many of you face to face. And so much effort went into making this event a success. I'd like to thank our volunteers and greeters for making this experience welcoming and so much easier to navigate through. I'd also like to say thank you to our staff team who put in time, dedication, and effort to making this outdoor service a pleasant experience for kids, adults, and everyone in between. For many of us, this has been a tough season. One of the many blessings that comes with being a part of the body of Christ is we do not have to go through these difficulties alone. We can be there to pray for one another. If you'd like someone to pray for you, we have a wonderful prayer team who prays each and every week for our church, for our community, and for you. If you'd like to share your prayer request with us, you can simply text the word prayer to our number and our prayer team will pray for you. Thank you once again for being with us this morning. And before we move on to worship, please join the Armijo family as they lead us in prayer.
Hello, University Covenant Church. We're the Armijo family. I'm Rob Armijo.
I'm Wave.
I'm Caleb.
I'm Addie.
Let's hold our hands in prayer or bow our head in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this group of believers. We come to you with our prayer requests today. We would like to start, Lord, by asking for your guidance and your help in this new season of school with hybrid schools and hybrid learning models. We ask that you guide the minds and the actions of our leaders and our teachers, and that you would help them to be successful in teaching our new students in this new novel environment of teaching. Be with them, be present in the situation. We also pray for the students. We pray that you would be able to also inspire them and be with them, help them to learn their lessons in this unusual situation, Lord. Just be there.
Lord, we lift up this season and we pray that when we look over it, we can see the things that you have done that we are thankful for. Thank you for the silver linings, the special time with family and friends and being able to connect on Zoom.
Lord, I pray to be able to hang out with my friends again and not do it over a Zoom call.
And Lord, I pray that we have a quick recovery from the lockdown and that we can get over it and go back to life as normal. And thank you for time with family that we have gotten over this lockdown period.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you for this new season. And we thank you for not just the season of the year, that the spring that I'm referring to, Lord. I thank you for this chance that of renewal and recovery that would come from the vaccinations that are rolling out. We thank you that we have an opportunity to recover economically and socially, and we just thank you that we have, you know, scientists and a system of healthcare that would allow us to do that. Thank you, Lord, for that.
Hey, Daniel. Hey, Josh. Thanks for joining me. So hypothetically, now and then, Pastor John will preach a sermon that goes 45 minutes long in a what should be a 1 hour video.
And you know, John, in my opinion, when it's from you, there's no such thing as a sermon too long.
Thank you, Daniel. So if I were to preach 2 hours long, you guys would probably go, oh boy, like it would almost be like a trip to Disneyland.
Yeah. I send in emails every week asking for longer and longer sermons.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, not everyone has the same attention span and theological depth in our church as you might. So this sermon was particularly long, so I had to split it. And so we actually watched the first part of this a few weeks ago. I believe I recorded this all the way back in March. And so we thought, hey, if we're going to watch the second part of the sermon, it might be good to kind of fill in what was talked about, kind of like a to be continued, like, hey, as seen on the previous episode stuff. The first thing I was trying to say in the first part is that Paul's writing to a group of Christians who are really down and out. They're scattered. Society doesn't like them. They have a bad impression. False rumors are being spread about them. And he's kind of talking about how much God is doing in the midst of this. So, you know, have you guys ever experienced anything where you kind of feel like down and out and just you're feeling pretty crummy about yourself? You know, feel like a loser.
Actually, I recently got into Minecraft. Yeah, my brothers are really pro at it. And I started playing with them recently, like a month or two ago. And I'm really embarrassed at how new I am at the game and how they just mess with me sometimes, and it's stuff I don't know about, and so I'm really embarrassed, but it's still fun to play with them. But
So Minecraft is your version of feeling like a loser.
I guess so, yeah. I enjoy it, but it's tough.
Yeah. So anyway, the church is in this situation, and Peter's actually trying to tell him, hey, even though you feel this way, there's another reality going on. And one of the things he talks about is how much we need a special place. Like back in the Old Testament days, there was a temple. And the temple was where God's presence was especially felt. Now, God is everywhere, but it was the temple where God's presence was especially felt. It's kind of like where heaven meets earth. So I'm curious for you guys, have you ever had a place or an area where you feel like, man, when I'm here or when I'm next to this situation, this is where I really feel like heaven meets earth? Where have you experienced that?
You know, John, it's funny that you asked that because there are certain people, certain places where I just feel really close and connected, and some people really make me feel that way, and I can't get enough of those people and places.
That's great. Okay, but from a godly perspective, it was the temple. The crazy thing that Peter says in this passage is that now the people of God, when they gather, they're the new temple, that God is especially there in a new and different way. And so he transfers, he's like, hey, you guys feel scattered, you guys feel down and out, but here's the spiritual reality that everything the temple represented is now on you as the church. And so that was the big idea in the first half of the sermon, that we are the new temple and that God's presence is especially felt. And then Peter transitions to talking about a special people, that God actually selected a special people to work through, to bless, so that they would be a blessing to the rest of the world. And it's just important that I read the words that God spoke to the Israelites about their special identity. Exodus 19 says, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So God just chooses this group of people and says, you guys are going to be special. I'm going to invest in you, but you're not special for your own sake, but you're special to be a blessing. So that's where we're continuing with this next part.
But then he addresses the question, not only of the place, but now he transfers to, but what about the people? And he goes on in verse 9 and says this, but you are a chosen people, speaking to these scattered people, a royal priesthood. And catch this, does this language sound familiar? A holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, In other words, you guys weren't related. This is not an ethnic thing anymore. But now you are the people of God. God has brought you together and created a new nation or people group out of you. Once you had not received mercy, you were not Israelites, so you don't have that experience of God's mercy or chosenness. But now you have received mercy. You've experienced that. And so Peter ends this section by saying, not only has God transferred the place to you when you're gathered, but now he has transferred the people group to you. Now you together are God's chosen. Now you together are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. God says, I will choose to invest and bless you, give you privileges that others may not have, but not just for your sake. There's a redeeming purpose to the world for this, so that you too can declare the praises of this God who has blessed you to others, so they too may be included and blessed as well. He says, now you are that people. You are this new nation I am choosing, says God. But this new nation is different. It's not that we all have the same bloodline. We're not all Israelites, but God has created a new people group that has been called from darkness to light, that has been called from not understanding God's mercy to understanding, and that bond brings us together. Now, this language should sound really familiar. It's the same language that God used in Exodus 19. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He calls us a nation, God's special possession. So Peter makes an outstanding claim. He says, God's agenda to bring heaven and earth together through both a people group and a place, both those things have been transferred onto the group of people who believe in Jesus and center and build their lives around him. I think we should just go, what? Because I just want you to catch how mind-blowing this is. Think of all the craziness in our world. I mean, what are the big issues in your mind, depending on your viewpoint, you're at, but racism, sexism, environmentalism, lack of respect of God, poor parenting, people growing out with parents, going on without parents. You name whatever thing. God is saying, I've chosen a particular group of people in a particular place to bring heaven on earth and all of that. And that place is the church gathered together. That place is when we come together. I think this should be mind-blowing, because he's saying that in the midst of this group of people being scattered, like they're not doing that great, and where society does not see them in great light, he says, you all together are the essential organization for heaven and earth coming together, for God's presence to be known, for salt and light of the earth. He looks at this group of people and says, you are it. You are essential. Now, I know for some of you, some cynicism comes up when you hear that. So can I just name that? And if there's some cynicism that comes up, it's probably because you feel disillusioned with the church. You maybe believe that racism, sexism, all the isms are perpetuated by the church, not solved. Or you see some of the pains of this world and you think the church is to blame. And so when you hear this, you're like, I don't believe this about the church. I don't feel like the church is that special. Or maybe if you don't have those kinds of impressions, your cynicism is still pretty high for other reasons. Maybe you've been part of the church for a while. You're like, I don't know. I'm not, this group of people called the church isn't very extraordinary to me. And what you're looking for is an above par group of people that we can assign these values to. But I want you to remember that when God chose Abraham and the Israelites, there was nothing particularly special about them. There was nothing they did or didn't do that particularly earned God's favor. What made them special was that God chose them, that they belonged to God. And I want to say the same thing about us or the church when we come gathered. There's nothing to brag about here. There's no, look what we've done. This is purely because of what God has done for us. You know, some of you know I like to play music, and now and then I nerd out and look at instruments. And an electric guitar I came across is called, and I don't play electric guitar, but it's called a Fender Stratocaster. A Fender Stratocaster. And I was looking at Guitar Center, and depending on the quality of one, you can get one from anywhere from $500 to maybe $2,000. But maybe the average cost of one of these is about $1,000. Now, I heard about 20 years ago, one of these were sold. One of these were sold. Exact same model, exact same everything, but it was sold for almost $300,000. And I was like, man, what was special about this? Like, I thought they must have used different materials, different strings. And as I did more research, there was nothing different. In fact, let me show you a picture of a typical electric guitar in this model and the one that was sold for, you know, that one goes for $1,000 and for one that was sold 20 years ago for $300,000. And so it's probably going to be sold for a lot more. And basically the specs are the exact same. So isn't that upsetting? Like, why would someone pay $300,000 for one where they could have gone to Guitar Center and got the exact same model for $1,000? The reason is this second one belonged to Jimi Hendrix. That's the only difference. There's no other difference. And the reason it's so valuable isn't because how it was made, isn't because this guitar did anything or didn't do anything compared to its brothers or sisters. This guitar was special and was worth so much because of who it belonged to. See, what Peter is saying is our role as a church, our specialness as a church, has little to do with what we've done or not done. Our loyalty to God and what God is going to do through us, our specialness, why we're precious in his precious possession, is because of whom we belong to. And so whatever your opinion of the church, whether glowing or not, there's got to be a change of mind where you understand this is God's tool. That God, for better or worse, has chosen the church. When I say church, I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the people. We are the building now together. God has chosen a people group to be his instrument of redemption in this world, more than a political party, more than a nonprofit, more than education, more than the university, and all these things have their place. This is not to belittle any other institution, but what God seems to say is that when it comes to the restoration of all things, when it comes to meeting the longing that we are all looking for, no matter what your background, when it comes to addressing our greatest problem that heaven and earth have been separated, God said, I have chosen the church, the people, together gathered, where my presence will be made known in a place like no other that will make it special and essential for heaven and earth gathering. For being a preservative of this world and being a light to this world. So this has a couple implications. These implications are going to be tough because they will go against how we think. But when you understand what these implications are and you live a life this way, I think you position yourself to play your part in God's building that is much greater than if you don't make a shift in this. Here's the first thing, is you need to stop minimizing the gathering of God's people. You need to stop memorizing. Do not minimize the gathering of God's people, which includes yourself. See, what happens is we think, hey, do I go to church or not this Sunday? Do I attend youth group or not tonight? Do I go to my life group or not? Do I serve together with my church? How do you think about the gathering? Because what God says is it's not just you on your own, but it's the church gathered that makes the difference. See, here's the thing. You are a beautiful living brick, a living stone that God calls you, built around the cornerstone with others. But in isolation, no matter how beautiful and how living you are, you're kind of useless. There is nothing that this one brick does in isolation that contributes to anything of what God wants to do with his new people group and his new temple. The power of God doing his great agenda of meeting the greatest needs is when we're together built on Jesus. So it has some implications. I'm just going to be really specific. So for example, when you sign up for sports, are you thinking through what does this do for me gathered? What does it do to our Sunday gatherings? What does it do for my youth group? What does it do for my life group? And are you thinking through those questions to understand the significance of your being together with other people who are centering their lives around Jesus? So don't go, no big deal. It's not a big, it's a huge deal. Why? Because it's us together where God does the greatest thing that we're longing for, where he brings heaven to earth. So begin to ask these questions as you make decisions about life, as you study for tests, as you go on business trips. Think through, how does this affect my gathering? Don't minimize that. Don't minimize the gathering, but raise it up. When you go on vacations, don't just go, oh, well, I'll miss church that Sunday. Think through, where are we going on vacation? Maybe there's a church body I can join while I'm on vacation. Like, well, that's crazy, John. What's even crazier is ignoring your role in the church, that God does something special when we are gathered. So Peter seems to really raise the value of not minimizing when the church gathers and to say it is so instrumental to gather. So when you are waking up from a nap and it's time to go to youth group or life group and you're tired thinking, I'll just skip it, don't minimize that. When you have tons of homework, you're wondering, should I go or not? Don't minimize that. God is doing something together in us when we gather. And when we just make those flippant decisions of I'm not going to participate and not build my life and gather around us with the others, we are missing out on the new temple and the new people group that God is creating for the sake of the redemption of this world. So I want to ask you to minimize the church gathered. You have a huge role to play in that. The second is this, is don't minimize the relationships within the church that you have. Don't minimize the relationships within the church. Earlier in this book, Peter says, as you love one another in the church, learn to love each other even more deeply, because he picks up on that not only is it the gathering that makes the difference, but the quality of the love we have between us is also a conduit through which God's presence is shown amongst us and to the world. Again, Jesus said, it is our love for one another that is our best witness to this world. And so as you are in this gathering, don't minimize what God does in loving those around you and receiving love from those around you, serving those around you out of love and receiving people serving you out of the love they have for you. It's not just individual, it's together. And that just means as we see people who are hurting in our gatherings or people who are we're in relationship with our church, that our heart pours out of love and we serve, that when we are in need, that we accept people serving us. There's a sense of that we're in it for each other and we're loving each other sacrificially in a way that joyfully costs us, because it's through that kind of sacrificial love, the same love that Jesus did for us, that we give to other, that God's presence is shown, that heaven and earth are meeting and that we are salt and light to the world. Now, this also isn't just individual, but it's also social. It has social implications. In fact, in another letter that Paul wrote in Galatians, he says this, that in the church, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. He's talking about he's talking about race here or ethnicity. He's saying it's not that those things don't exist anymore. There's still Jews and there's still Gentiles. We still have our lineage, our history, our culture, our foods, our smells. All those are still true. But in the church, those two things, there's no status difference anymore. The status is removed and those two things come together. He says that there's neither slave nor free in the church. And now he's talking about class. This is an economic thing, that in all societies, there are people who have lots of means and those who don't have a lot of financial means. But in the church, those are those differences. And in society where there's a status difference, he says, no, in the church, there's not a status difference, that we still outdo one another with honor and love, even in financial differences. And so there are times where those with means are helping those without, but there are also times where those with means need the help of those without, because it's not just about money, but we are on an equal playing level. What was radical about the new church is that those who were, quote, slaves, in our mind, that would be indentured servants, and those who were the owners of slaves or those who hired out those indentured servants, they were actually part of the same church on equal levels. That income made no difference of their status in the church. It was a remarkable community. And then goes on and says, and there is no male or female. Now, is he saying in the church that there's no male and no female? No, he's honoring gender and sexual differences. But he's saying, while in society around you, there's a status difference, and we still see that some of that status difference today. In the church, it's different, that men and men outdo women in honor, and women do the same for men, that there's no status difference. And in this place called the church, this new temple, this new people group, those status differences are removed, and it's a picture of heaven on earth. So I just want to think about what's going on socially in our world right now. Our Asian American community in our world and in our church, there are building blocks in our church, are really grieving right now in the ways that the image of God has been belittled in the Asian American community. And one way that we can be the church is we outdo one another in honor, and we show, hey, we can't always control what's going on out there, but in here, we outdo one another in honor. That means everyone loving our Asian American brothers and sisters, and it means Asian Americans and any other ethnic group not demonizing whites and putting all problems on whites, because that's a societal thing. But in the church, all of that is removed, and we say, hey, we are all broken people, but in this season, this group is hurting, and we're going to come along. How do you do that? If you have an Asian American friend, check in with them. How are you doing? How can I be helpful? Not all Asian Americans are the same in our church. Some are really hurting and have shared with me. Some, this is not a huge deal. So give people the experience and the chance to be different, but to come along, stay outside and say, we are for you. I am for you. It's going to make a huge difference. When it comes to gender in our church, for men to outdo women in honor, to make sure that they are lifted up in the church beyond what's in society, and for women not to place all the evils of earth on men and put everything on patriarchy as the grand evil. Both of those are societal things, but in the church, it's different. We all realize that we are broken people and part of the same family, and we are outdoing one another in love and honor and lifting each other up. This is the kind of temple that God is building with Jesus as the chief cornerstone. When you care for people in the church, when you choose not to minimize the relationships you have in the church, it's huge. So when you gather on a Sunday, or gather in youth group, or gather in small groups, or gather to serve, or gather for fun, just know that those relationships you have with the other people are holy relationships. And the way that you outdo one another with love and sacrificial service is a symbol and is a conduit of God redeeming this world, of bringing heaven to earth. That He has included you as part of that. Don't minimize that. Prioritize the church gathered. Prioritize the relationships in the church. Peter is saying something outlandish and crazy in this moment. It's mind-boggling. And he would say the same thing to you right now. You remember all those stories you read about God choosing a people group to be a salt, to be salt and light to the nations? That's you now. Remember how God had this holy of holies, where His presence was especially known, where heaven and earth met, just like the Garden of Eden? That's now transferred to you. And now that has implications. Live into it.
Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Before we go, I have a few quick announcements to tell you about. If you are encouraged by today's service and would like to share this video with someone, text SHARE to our number. We can help you do that. If you'd like additional information about all the events going on here at University Covenant, you can text NEWS to this number as well. First, we are so excited to announce that we will be holding weekly in-person services starting April 18th. That's next week. We'll be having two services, an 8 a.m. tradition service, as well as a 10 a.m. contemporary service. For both services, we expect everyone in attendance to stay in their pods, remain socially distanced from others, and wear their face masks. At each service, we have printed programs available for everyone, which will include weekly announcements, sermon notes, and worship lyrics to help you follow along. After each service, we want to encourage everyone to stick around and fellowship with one another safely outdoors. We kindly ask those of you attending our in-person services to refrain from congregating in the lobby. Our restrooms will continue to be open and available for use for anyone attending either service. Our 8 a.m. tradition service will be held outside on the patio. The easiest way to access this service is by entering from the front doors of the main entrance. When you arrive, chairs will be placed in strategic, socially distanced arrangements for you to sit in. As for the 10 a.m. contemporary service, it will be held out on our lawn, the same location as our Easter service. The designated entrance for this service will be on the west side of our parking lot. For this service, you will need to bring your own chairs or blankets to sit on, and X's will be visible on the ground for you to use as social distance markers. And if you do not feel comfortable attending one of our in-person services just yet, or prefer to experience the services from the comfort of your own home, we'll still be producing a weekly online Sunday service, which you can view on Facebook or YouTube. Our next announcement we have for you is about Breakaway. For those of you who may be unfamiliar of what Breakaway is, it's a summer day camp we host every year for kids between preschool age and sixth grade. This year's theme is Breakaway from the Wilderness. We'll be learning about how the Israelites learned to trust God as he delivered them into the Promised Land, and how we can also learn to trust God as he delivers us into his kingdom. The format of Breakaway will be similar to the previous year. It'll consist of online videos and small groups conducted over Zoom. However, there will also be opportunities for in-person activities at our local parks, where parents and caregivers will be required to stay at the park with their campers for the duration of those activities. This year, we'll also have t-shirts available for our campers and for any donor who donates $20 or more to help support our Breakaway program. There'll be a deadline to receive these t-shirts, so be sure to register early to secure a spot for your child and to ensure they receive their Breakaway camp shirt. Please visit our website for more info at ucov.com/breakaway. We are so grateful to have the ability to connect with one another through large church events like Easter Sunday. And one reason we're able to meet like this and also to continue to do good within our community is because of all of you, those of you who choose to give to our local church. Please text GIVE to the number on your screen for more info on the various ways you can give to the ministries and mission of UCC. If you haven't already done so, you can also make your giving automatic by visiting ucov.com/give to set up a recurring donation. Again, I'm so glad you're able to join us today. Check out our website at ucov.com/Sunday for a reflection guide based on the sermon, as well as lesson plans for kids. And we'll see you next week as we continue part 7 of our latest series titled Scattered Together. And now, church, receive this benediction. University Covenant Church, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. That one paragraph, it was like in person, out of person, outside, inside.
Outdoors, person, but, yeah. Social distance.
Don't go to the restroom outdoors. Go to the restroom indoors, but stay outside for the rest of it.